Hi, I'm Mel Pickup, Chief Executive of Bradford Teaching Hospitals, and welcome to this episode of our podcast. Today's episode is about something we talk about a lot in the NHS, but don't always stop to reflect on properly. The idea that our hospitals aren't just a place of work, they're a place where people build their lives, their identities, and often their families. Here in Bradford, the NHS really is a family affair. For sisters Rizwana and Mina Bashir, working at Bradford Teaching Hospitals hasn't just shaped their own careers over the last two decades. It's become a thread that runs through generations, across wards, roles and departments, and out into the wider community they serve. Their story is rooted in shared beginnings, shaped by challenge and determination, and strengthened by a deep connection to the people around them, patients, colleagues, and family alike. It's a story about commitment, compassion, and continuity, and about what happens when people don't just work for an organisation, but truly feel a part of it. So today, we're taking a moment to slow down and listen to that story, not just as a reflection on careers, but a reminder of what belonging in the NHS can really look and feel like. Rizwana, Mina, welcome. It is lovely to have you both here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about your role here now at Bradford Teaching Hospitals.
At present, I am the renal matron. So I cover the renal services, and that's not just here at the Bradford Royal Infirmary. I cover the service at St Luke's and also across up at Skipton.
And Mina, can you tell us what your current role here is at Bradford Teaching Hospitals?
So I'm the clinical site matron over at the Command Centre. I've been there for about 5 years now. It's a very challenging role, especially in the winter period, but I thrive and I absolutely love it.
So let's start at the beginning. Raz, if I can start with you, am I right in thinking that Mina may have had a big part to play in you applying to be a nurse? Can you tell us what you were doing before nursing and how Mina, or whoever it was, managed to persuade you to come and think about a career in nursing?
She twisted my hand. So before nursing, I was a nursery nurse. Funny enough, Mina also was a nursing nurse, and we both did our nursing nurse together as well. And Mina decided to say, let's go do our nurse training. And I'm like, I'm quite happy where I am. So actually, you went and got the application forms.
I did get the application forms for both of us. I filled mine in. I helped her fill hers in. And we both got onto the course. We got our interviews on the same day. I was accepted. I was so nervous about her because I really wanted her to do nursing as well. And she came out and she says, they've not told me yet. I says, well, I've got accepted anyway. A couple of hours later, she got accepted as well. We were both doing it. But yeah, I did twist her arm because she was happily doing a nursery nursing.
So how long did you work together in the children's nursery?
So
5 years.
And what was it that actually sort of sparked that? Do you know what? Why don't we do this?
I've always liked challenge. So I thought, you know what? I love where we are. I love children, but let's do something a bit more and give a bit more to the world. I think we've always naturally been nurses.
I worked at a care home when I was 16, actually.
Yeah.
So I always had that side in me. I was working as a nursing nurse, studying and working at the care home at the same time, weren't I?
So you've got both ends of the generational spectrum there. Some real good people skills being honed,
definitely.
Which of course are really, really important. And how important was it to you both to have each other? You know, I've had sort of, as a nurse by background, different sort of scenarios with people being in different schools or different intakes or different years at university or whatever. But to be in the same sort of cohort, that doesn't happen very often, I wouldn't have thought.
We started in September and I actually got pregnant middle of September with my first son. And I was really upset, actually, only because I thought they're going to say you can't continue with your course or you'd have to go back 6 months. And I'm like, I don't want to do that. So I actually ended up having a section with my older son. And I came back after 3 weeks.
After three weeks,
but I wouldn't have managed that. I wouldn't have managed that if I didn't have the support of Mina with me.
Yeah.
So she supported me through babysitting and supported me through my course because it was difficult.
I remember first week back, everyone was shocked. They were expecting her to go back 6 months, and she came back and was like, hey, the baby bump's gone. what? You still, you're here? What's this? But yeah, you did a lot of standing, didn't you? You couldn't sit down. But yeah, started placements together. You did your community placement, I think, and I was on a ward.
I was pregnant at the time when I did my community placement,
I mean, it really is very remarkable to come back just so quickly, but that was because you wanted to stay.
I wanted, that's true, Mel. I wanted to be able to stay and qualify with Mina, because we started together and because we did our nurseries together. We just wanted to finish together, kind of thing.
Yeah. And had you had much experience of the hospital before you started your training? Had you, you know, ever worked or seen or had much exposure to the hospital environment?
I've had quite a bit. My youngest daughter, she's asthmatic, so she was always in and out of hospital.
Right.
And to be honest with you, she's doing her nurse training now.
Of course she is.
So I had been in and out of hospital quite a lot, and to be honest with you, there was nothing negative I could say about the hospital. And that's going back, what, 25-26 years now.
Wow. Did you feel supported by the trust in those early days?
Definitely. I knew exactly what I wanted to do. I worked on the acute admission units 1 and 4, and I loved it. It was busy, and I knew my matron inside out. She was amazing. She moved away, but she was amazing. And you'd hear the shoes before you heard her. Her presence was there, and you'd feel it. Even if you weren't doing anything or you sat behind nurses, that you would get up and you would make sure you were busy. Yeah. But she encouraged us to develop. So, yeah, I definitely felt that I got a lot of support from her.
And a great role model, I guess.
Oh, absolutely. She was amazing.
I was a staff nurse on a renal ward to start off with, and that's because Mina encouraged me to apply for the job, because she was on placement on that ward.
That's right, indeed. She was on placement. Funnily,
In the matron that I had, she was amazing. She was my role model. And I says to my staff, if I ever want to be like anybody, I want to be like this matron.
Yeah.
You know, a buzzer went off and we was having handover, and she says, I'll go answer the buzzer. And then I'd seen an opinion gloves taking a commode to a patient. And I was amazed that, oh my God, a matron's doing this, you know, not a healthcare or a nurse, a matron's actually doing this, going to see the patient. So I says, if I ever want to be like anyone, I want to be like this matron. Later on, when I did become a matron, one of the nurses who actually knew that matron says to me, Raz, do you know who you remind me of? You actually remind me of that.
Why don't you give that matron a shout out? Do you know where she is now?
I do.
Because she would love to hear that.
She was called Chris Lacey. Chris Lacey is now working in Marie Curie, and she was my role model.
Well, Chris Lacey, if you are listening, thank you so much. You did a fantastic job. And you have both progressed enormously in your careers, haven't you? You've got very senior roles, very influential people in this organisation, both informally and formally, I would say. How do you think working together has helped that?
I think we have got their own merit, but I think we've supported each other a lot throughout our career.
Yeah.
So when Raz became a bed manager, I was a sister on the acute admissions units, and she told me, oh, there's a vacancy. Do you fancy it? I'm like, I don't think that's for me. I'm very hands-on. I love to be busy, and I don't think I can do it. Just give it 6 months, see how it is, and if you don't want to, then obviously you can go back.
Well, I don't even think bed managers are busy.
So I went, and I took the job. I got the job straight away, and I didn't feel it was for me.
Yeah.
And I was like...
I kept telling her,
it's your fault. I don't think this is for me. It's all your fault. You told me this and that, and it's not like that. I just feel I don't get that patient face-to-face, you
contact,
know. And she's like, no, Mina, but you can. Anyway, I think we did a night shift together. It was in middle of winter, absolutely mental downstairs in A&E. The wards were busy, and my legs were killing. She had me running up and down from A&E to the wards, pushing trolleys, pushing beds.
So we
and
had,
she goes, you know, he says that you weren't busy. How do you feel?
So she used to say, I'm going to refuse working with you because you make me work so hard, because we had 4-hour targets at that time.
We did, yeah.
And not 12 hours. So it's like waiting for a porter. Forget about waiting for a porter. Come on, Mina, let's push that bed. Come on, Mina, let's push this chair. Let's get the patient. And the patient would say, oh, we didn't know that they had female porters, because we were wearing the same uniform as in the same colour, should I say, as a porter.
Used to say that, yeah, I remember saying
but
that.
But we was a good team.
We did. We thrived.
And we actually, we would get that feedback from A&E, because they'd say, who's on tonight? Mina and Raz. Oh, we'll have a good night tonight. You know, the consult, the manager on call would say, who's on tonight? Mina and Raz. oh, they won't bother us, they won't ring us, they'll just get on with it.
And that's nice to get that nice positive feedback.
And so you've got the best of both worlds because you are progressing, you're learning new skills, you're doing different things. But Mina, that thing that you were afraid of, that losing patient contact, that was there as well.
Yeah,
and it's,
yeah, definitely.
It's about how you do the job. If you can make sure that you can sort of build that into a job that, you know, some people might say, well, I don't like to do the job that way. I can do it from this chair in front of this computer and using the telephone, etc. But you clearly enjoy the opportunity to get your hands on.
Yeah, I say I think I've taught everything Mina knows from a bed management perspective.
Where I was going with the question. Yeah. Was there ever any competition? Were you competitive as children? Or, you know, is it competitive in any way? Or
No, we've never thought of it that way. We've always looked out for each other.
Do you think you would have gotten as far then? In your careers so far, if you hadn't have got each other? I know it's on your own merits, that's absolutely clear, but that little prod and a poke sometimes when you can get a bit complacent in a role and comfortable.
We do play a big role in each other's life, don't we? You know, with that support, knowing that I've got Mina there sometimes she knows she's got me there. It's nice to share experience and our knowledge and even if there's an issue and problem, you know, oh Mina, I've come across this kind of thing and you know, she's like, oh well, it's okay, we can do this, you can do that, and to be able to have somebody to go to. We both are very well known, outspoken, and we can literally go to anybody. You know, I won't feel scared to approach Karen or yourself, Mel, but to have somebody who's there as a sibling is really nice.
So clearly you two are here, but you are the minority in the family Bashir out there. Your family seems to be everywhere across the trust. How did that happen?
So it started with us, and then who came afterwards?
I think, to be honest with you, we do say it started with us, but I think we gave a lot of positivity about where we work, how we enjoy it, and the rest of them. I've seen that in us. I mean, we're happy at home. We don't stop talking about work. We've got a third sibling, sister, and she's sick of us. She's like, you know, when I'm out with you, please don't talk about work. Yeah. And I think we've encouraged the rest of them because we're so happy at work, and they've seen that in us. And I think they've realised that, you know, it's a happy place to work, and they've given so much to their jobs, and why not? So we've got a cousin who works here.
First cousin who's a ward manager on one of the surgical wards.
That's right, yeah.
She was my student, actually.
Really?
Yeah, she was when I was on the renal ward. So there's her. There's your two.
My two girls worked here. One's moved away now and the other one did a nurse training. So she qualifies next month. Then we've got his niece, who's a physician associate who works here. Then my brother's wife, she's one of our managers. So there's a fair few of us. And I think it is because they've seen us happy at home, happy at work, and we've encouraged them.
Yeah. We talk a lot about culture in organisations and how we can sort of foster and increase the sense of belonging. And my sort of interpretation of what belonging is very much epitomises what you're describing, really, that sense of you're happy at work and you feel listened to and you can make a difference. And I guess more than anything, that you can be and feel supported to be your true, authentic self.
Absolutely.
What does that mean for you guys? What does it mean when I say belonging?
I was actually born here at the maternity unit, and so were my both boys. So I think Bradford Teaching Hospital is like home to me. That's how I feel. And to be able to have that feeling and support from my colleagues and the trust, I just feel when I'm here, I'm myself.
Yeah, we feel valued. We've just had Christmas, haven't we?
Mm.
And I don't celebrate Christmas, but
you probably went home with the most presents.
I did. I got the most presents. They make you feel included.
Yeah.
They make you feel valued. My team, I mean, I've only got a small team, but she's right. I came home and my kids are like, Mummy, another present. What's going on? But yeah, they made me feel valuable and part of that team.
And same with when it's Ramadan and it's Eid, we bring in food to share with our colleagues. You know, it's not just the Muslim staff that are involved. We want everybody to share that experience with us, which is really nice. Yeah. And we get really good feedback.
Because you've worked in the trust a long time, and certainly much, much longer than I have, you will remember the time before we had the idea of Ramadan allyship and our Ramadan program and all the stuff that we do and try and support colleagues.
God,
and I know I've spoken to colleagues from other organisations who are Muslim colleagues and they've heard about it and it's part of the reason that they choose to come to Bradford, which I think is fantastic.
Absolutely.
And you're a big part of that because the iftars and the pop-up prayer rooms and the allyship, you are often the very public face of that and encouraging that. So
it's really good that
we have come up.
It's recognised and it's just, I feel as if it's part of our trust. You know, everybody looks forward to it and the experience that we share with everybody, which is really nice.
So what would you say to someone new thinking about joining the trust?
I'd say welcome to our family, Bradford Teaching Hospital family, because that's how I feel.
Yeah.
We're one big family.
We are, yeah.
It's massive. The family's massive. Don't feel as if you're on your own. Don't burn out as well. Don't feel scared, I would say. And don't think about your mental and your physical health because it's just as important.
The Thrive offer, which is how as an organisation we try and think about those things, Mina, because they're absolutely right. I strongly believe you have to feel happy and healthy in work to be able to care because actually the capacity to care has to come from a sense of you feeling cared for, doesn't it? And if you don't feel like that in your work environment, how can you give that
to
others?
It's true, so true.
And I know that you do, and I know, because I know my dad came in one evening, and was it you, Mina?
You came to their rescue
when they couldn't get in the building,
right,
and they didn't know you, but they met you, and they said, we met this amazing woman.
Oh.
So what gets you out of bed every morning? Because, you know, some mornings are really easy to get out of bed. Mornings like today, the depths of winter, at least we didn't wake up to snow, but it's hard sometimes, isn't it?
I think it's my cats that get me out of bed in the morning because they're scratching on my door to tell me, come on, it's time to feed me. I think what gets me out of bed is the work that we do and, you know, we're appreciated. And the changes we actually make, be it small or big change to our patients or to our colleagues, you know, the employer of the month that we give every month to our colleagues to show how we appreciate their work and my services. We actually, it's not just the staff that nominate the staff member, it's actually the patient. So we get the patients involved as well. And the feedback that we get from our patients. So we had a patient on one of my ward who was really poorly and thought, you know, he wouldn't make it. And he's come back to spend a day a week on the ward to give back, talk to the patients, voluntary work he's doing on the ward because he appreciates all the hard work the doctors did and the nurses did. And for him, it's that giving back. And that's so nice knowing that we made a change in his life.
It is. It's the small changes that we make. There's a quote in the Quran and it says that if you save one life, it's like saving the whole of mankind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it sits with me perfectly because that small change that you've made to somebody's life, you feel it.
Mm. But for us, it might be small but for that person, it might be a huge change.
What you do for them will always stay with them
that's true.
Far longer and mean a great deal to them. And that appreciation, it's lovely when they share it and it's even nicer for me to be able to share it beyond to other colleagues. Great. And finally, why has nursing stayed so important to you after all these years? What elements of nursing is it that make it so important to you? I think, Mina, you might have already touched on this in that interaction with patients. But Raz, what about you?
Just being here. I enjoy what I do and that's the main thing, that I enjoy coming to work every day. I enjoy spending time with the patients. Just the other day, I was coming from Daisy Bank across to the main site and an old gentleman was getting out of a taxi and he was struggling, so I held the door for him and I asked him where he was going and I literally just put my arm out like this and he held on to me. I says, come on, let's take you where you need to go. And I walked him down, we had a little chit chat about the weather and stuff, you know. For me, that wasn't something big, but that gentleman would remember that. And that's, you know, we don't want to be appreciated, but it's nice that we're doing these kinds of acts for patients because it makes us feel that we've done something for our patients.
Do you know, I can identify with that so potently because, you know, as a chief exec who is a nurse and has always been a nurse, it's a bit like your command centre situation. I'm not sure that I could work in an environment where I couldn't look out or walk around and see patients and families. And so if I find somebody struggling who needs a wheelchair or was lost or any of those things, I will do the same. Mm. And dare I say, sometimes that's the high spot of my day.
Yeah,
in all absolutely. That I have to do, that little bit of patient contact reminds me and grounds me about what we're all here to do.
Yeah.
It's great. What about you, Mina?
Yeah, I think the same, to be honest with you. I think I've always had that caring nature about me. I think I've always been a nurse from the start. And to show that to patients, and not just the patients, my colleagues, I'm a role model for them. I mean, they absolutely appreciate what we do. And as a team as well, they value me. So I think for those reasons, I think nursing will always stay with me.
Raz and Mina, thank you so much for sharing your story. It's been an incredibly moving and a real reminder that the NHS is built not just on the roles and services, but on relationships, loyalty and a deep sense of belonging. And you are quite right when you say that you recognise that you are appreciated. Do you know what? I'd go further than that. I think you're genuinely, universally loved by this organisation, and that includes me, absolutely. Your journey shows what's possible when people feel supported and valued and encouraged to grow, and what a powerful thing it is when work becomes something more than just a job. Thank you for everything that you've given to Bradford Teaching Hospitals, including the many members of your wider family that I hope you continue to encourage to come here, and to the patients and families and colleagues that you have supported along the way. For more stories from across our trust and to find out more about working at Bradford Teaching Hospitals, please visit bradfordhospitals.nhs.uk.